I am Daniel White III, and you're listening to The Man in the Mirror, episode number 67. This podcast is directed to all young people, but primarily to young black men and young black women and their parents. We are thankful for all of the people who are standing up for justice and racial equality in our country. These are tumultuous times. The Bible says these are perilous times. But this podcast is about the man in the mirror. What are you doing for the glory of God? What are you doing to make life better for others? What are you doing for your family? And what are you doing for yourself to improve yourself, to become a better person? This podcast is about living life in such a way that it cuts back on the chance of being harassed or killed by the authorities or anyone else, and helps you to live the good life of peace, productivity, and joy. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And Dr. Jim Rohn said, "You must take personal responsibility." Allow me to repeat that. You must take personal responsibility. You cannot change the circumstances, the seasons, or the wind, but you can change yourself. And not only that, allow me to add that after the age of 16, you are responsible for your face. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, you are responsible for your attitude. You are responsible for your actions. You are way past the age of accountability. You know right from wrong. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" How about that? Dear friends, in keeping with our theme of dealing with the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror, we are going to continue discussing the building of important biblical character traits in your life. Today we will begin looking at the quality of gratitude from the Institute in Basic Life Principles. If you weed the garden or mow the lawn and your dad says, "Well done," does that make you feel happy inside? If you surprise your room by mopping the kitchen floor without being asked, if you surprise your room, that would be a surprise to your room. But I think he meant if you surprise your mom by mopping the kitchen floor without being asked, and she rewards you, does her delight cause you to smile? Your parents stopped what they were doing, took time to acknowledge your helpfulness, and demonstrated their gratefulness to you with a word or an action. You can give that same encouragement to others. Instead of grabbing the popsicle mom made for you and rushing outside, stop and thank her for the yummy treat. It will take you a long way in life to be grateful. In the excitement of opening a birthday gift, Pause to let the giver know that you appreciate his thoughtfulness. It only takes a moment to express gratitude, but what a difference your thanks can make in another's life. The operational definition of gratefulness is making known to God and others in what ways they have benefited your life, my life. What would happen if no one ever taught you how to read instructions, road signs, the Bible, or other books? How long would you live if you never received food? What would you do if no one provided a roof over your head out of the rain, like it's raining today? Even the very breath needed for life is a gift God has given to you. Every day you can find reasons to appreciate what God and others do on your behalf. Recognizing these gifts and those individuals who have given them is the first step in giving honor where honor is due. Gratefulness is then complete when you take that extra time and care to demonstrate outwardly through your words or actions how much you inwardly appreciate what they have done for you. Pardon me. The opposite of gratefulness is thankfulness. No. Another word for gratefulness is thankfulness. A thankful person does not notice how much others. Pardon me, my producer, Daniel White IV, was having some trouble with this text. The opposite of gratefulness is unthankfulness. An unthankful person does not notice how much others have done for him. He may proudly think, "I did such a good job myself," without acknowledging those who have helped or trained him. He forgets to say thank you, but rather has the attitude that he deserves certain benefits or favors or acknowledgments. He might even murmur or show displeasure with another's act of kindness toward him. If the deed was not done to his satisfaction, that is, because he is self-centered, he is also unable to see the efforts of others and how he is blessed by them. The one who is ungrateful misses the opportunity to encourage those around him with a contented attitude and spirit, a cheerful countenance, and a verbal appreciation for their efforts. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you, and we're grateful for your love for us, your mercy and your grace, for sending your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. Thank you for salvation full and free through your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, help us to be grateful people from that, to be a blessing and help to others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, in order to be saved, in order to get right with God, you cannot look at the man in the mirror. Rather, you must look at the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Do you know him? If you do not yet know him as your Lord and Savior, trust him as your Savior today. Here is how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin, a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of sin and because you have never accepted the payment for sin, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life, and he will do it, for the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, or Romans 10:9-13, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.